Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay and had a good weekend. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast on Monday, March the 25th. And our top story today is that an inquest has been held into the deaths of two young men following a crash on the A20 near Farningham. Chat Green and Alfie Green were friends who worked together. Well, Lucy joins me now with more on this incredibly sad story. So Lucy, talk me through the details of the crash.
Well, it happened on the A20 near Farningham last July when the car they were in came round a bend and veered out of control. The vehicle went into the wrong lane and crashed head-on with a van travelling in the opposite direction. Jake, who was driving, suffered catastrophic chest injuries, while Alfie's cause of death was given as massive head trauma. They were both just 20 years old and passed away at the scene.
And what evidence has emerged at the inquest?
Well, one of the main focuses was the speed the car was travelling at the time of the crash. The limit on that stretch of road is 40 miles per hour, and Jake was driving between 70 and 80. He'd borrowed the red Ford Escort from his boss so they could get to work in West Kingsdown, but only had a provisional licence and no insurance. After the collision, members of the public and an off-duty police officer stopped to help, but neither of the men could be saved.
And I understand their families were at the hearing to pay tribute.
Yes, Alfie's twin sister Claudia described him as beautiful, loving and kind-hearted. She said they're all so broken without him and their hearts will never heal again. The coroner said he was completely blameless as the passenger. Jake's brother Ashley was also at the inquest and said he got taken too soon. Thousands of pounds has been raised in their memory.
Lucy, thank you ever so much.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories today, and police have charged a 12-year-old boy with attempted murder following a stabbing in Sittingbourne. A 15-year-old girl was taken to a London hospital after she was injured on Adelaide Drive on Friday. The boy, who we're not allowed to name for legal reasons, is due in court. He's also accused of having an offensive weapon. Well, our reporter Jo Crosley has been at the scene in Sittingbourne.
The reaction on the street from residents who live here is of shock. Many of them were in on Friday night when the road was closed, and people are just can't really believe it's happened in their road. People said how terrible it is. People have said how shocked they are that something like this could happen in their area. The police are said to have come in numbers. One lady said there was 12 to 15 police officers here as they closed the road just by Brisbane Avenue and down at the main junction near Borden Lane. And ambulances were here as well as a helicopter which landed near at the Westlands Primary School. One lady watched the whole incident from her window, watching police cars rush past and set up a cordon in the area, as well as seeing forensic officers bring a white cloth down to one of the addresses in the road. She reported that this was absolutely terrifying, something like this happening in her area.
A court's heard how a school cabbie from Sittingbourne threatened to smash his partner's face in during a series of abusive rants. JJ Baker's phone calls to the mother of his children were recorded and replayed in front of the magistrate. The 31-year-old, who lives in Millbourne Grove, must do 80 hours of unpaid work, attend rehab, wear a tag and adhere to a curfew. A Ramsgate man has appeared in court accused of taking his clothes off in front of a female police officer while he was high on cocaine. Ricky Diggins had broken onto a building site and was said to be smashing things up. The 29-year-old, who lives in Auckland Avenue, was on a suspended sentence for another offence at the time. He'll be sentenced in May. A coroner's found the death of a Sittingbourne mum could have been prevented if her cancer diagnosis hadn't been delayed. Now, 44-year-old Kerry Mothersoul died of endometrial cancer with brain metastasis in 2022. An investigation found reports from a Kent ultrasound clinic weren't passed on to her doctors. Well, Kerry's son Jordan says it shows failings across the whole of the NHS.
Mum's died at 44, and she is left behind at the time a 4 and a 6-year-old that unfortunately will never ever be able to know who my mum was. But unfortunately, because of the age of her death, they will never be able to have an influence of their mum. And the fact is, the coroner made it quite clear, there are thousands of other people that are potentially at risk. And that is really, really concerning. You know, there are other families that are potentially, that we know are going through this. There are other reports out there that give us the same indications that women go to their GP practices with gynecological issues and they are ignored. And they are put to one side until things are too late and things are pushed to one side. And unfortunately, we then end up losing our mums at an age when really their lives should only just be started. You know, she's now had her children, and my mum's life was beginning. It shouldn't have been ending. I don't know what I say to the NHS, to be honest. It's not the doctors, in my opinion. They are severely underfunded, they're severely understaffed, and because of that, it has a devastating consequence. There is a systematic and managerial failing across the whole of our NHS. This isn't just local, this is everywhere. There are thousands and thousands of us that are going to present to our GP with a lump or a bump or a cough or something that is going to be ignored because, unfortunately, the guy just, or the doctor, is just overwhelmed. They are overwhelmed. They have, I mean, our GP practice, I think there's 8,000 patients. There's 3 GPs. They've got 8,000 patients on their books. How on earth can you safely accommodate 8,000, safely accommodate and safeguard 8,000 patients? You can't do that. You cannot do that. There needs to be more funding, more staffing, urgently. It can't wait until the general election. It can't wait until, you know, another political party gets into power. It's something that has to be led from the top and it needs to be done today. It can't wait.
We have asked health bosses for a comment.
Kent Online reports.
2 people have been rescued by lifeboat crews after getting cut off by the tide near a Medway country park. They were looked after by paramedics after being picked up by the RNLI not far from Motley Hill Nature Reserve in Raynham. The charity is urging anyone who goes out on the coast to make sure they have a phone with them for emergencies. The boss of a cancer charity in Herne Bay says he's having to close his shop because of shoplifting and a drop in donations. Graham Sargent runs the Chemotherapy Cancer Project, which supports patients going through treatment. But he says clothes and other items are regularly being stolen and the store is no longer viable.
Theft and shoplifting is, unfortunately, has been quite a big issue. I mean, who nicks or steals, well, whichever way you want to, the stopper out of a decanter? Who fills a bag with 4 or 5 pieces of clothes when they're buying one, or not buying, as the case may be, because we can't afford sophisticated security. You know, we are all volunteers. No one takes a wage out of it. And it adds up. They think it's because you're given it. And we had someone say, oh, you don't pay for nothing. But we do. We pay the same bills as any normal business. And like rent, we don't pay rates because obviously nobody's paying business rates under a certain level at the moment, but we still have to pay gas, electricity, water, and insurance, and it all adds up. Like, and if you're not getting income in or someone's walking off with some of that income, you can't pay your bills.
Next today, the Dartford Council leader is calling on transport bosses to get on with building the new Lower Thames Crossing. The tunnel would link Gravesham and Essex, reducing congestion elsewhere, but estimates say it won't open until 2030. Well, Jeremy Kite has been on the latest episode of the Kent Politics podcast, where he's been speaking to local democracy reporter Dan Essen.
I don't know why it's taken so long. I mean, get on with it. I mean, the Victorians would have been a no-brainer. And at any point in British history, when you have a rising demand and you can see it a mile off, and let's be honest, the demand for a new crossing was emerging in the 70s and the 80s. They could see where it was going, and there was simply no plan to do anything. And that was when the mistakes were made. And I just wish they'd get on with it. And our position is 100%. We need it. I mean, Dartford's in a very unique position in that most towns next to a big strategic motorway have a bit of distance between them, a mile. I mean, I go to watch Dartford Football Club a lot, so I travel to lots of towns. And you'll go around the motorway and then you'll go off for 10 minutes and you'll get to a town. Dartford doesn't have that buffer. Dartford sits right on top of the M25 motorway. In fact, we're bisected by it. So our town is split in two by the M25. So when there is a problem, congestion, accident, whatever, protest on the M25, Dartford suffers. And it's simply not civilised. And so you'll find no stronger advocate than me for getting on with it. I do understand why people are nervous of having a new crossing near them. They fear all the problems that Dartford has will move to their area. I think the location, however, that's proposed is genius. It's actually away from Gravesham. It's in an area where population is light. Of course, there'll be effects on people, but they also have the benefit of having a great design now. They can build a brand new crossing with all the mitigations that Dartford can only dream of in terms of environmental benefits and replanting and getting everything right. So my message to my own government, my own colleagues, is, for heaven's sake, just get this underway. Let's start, because then we can start to see the benefits of having a really grown-up bit of infrastructure. Mm.
And do you think, it's a topic that's been in the news a lot more recently. Do you think, the stringency and nature of British planning law is a big part of that, of why it's taken so long? Or?
Well, somebody I was speaking to reminded me that there is a project, I think, in Scandinavia where the project itself is similar in scale to this, and it has cost less than the estimated planning costs of the Lower Thames Crossing. Now, whether that's true or not, I don't fact check these things, but that was the sort of anecdotal, and there's bound to be a grain of truth in it, that somehow we managed to trip ourselves up with endless consultation. Of course, public opinion is correct, is important, and we mustn't forget that the Lower Thames Crossing had the biggest single response to any transport public consultation in British history, and people overwhelmingly said, get on with it. And now we're going back and consulting again. And I think my message, as I say, to transport ministers, housing ministers, anybody, is you absolutely need it. You absolutely need it. And vehicles are getting cleaner and greener. Road design is getting better. Environmental mitigations are getting better. So, this is an opportunity to build a fantastic piece of infrastructure, and we just need to get on with it.
And you can hear that episode in full at im-listening or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kent Online reports.
Plans for a new shisha bar in Chatham have been rejected following concerns it would attract crime. An application was put in to convert a courtyard space behind Railway Street. Police raised concerns about the proposal, and council bosses decided it would be detrimental to the high street. Elsewhere, a cinema in Ashford has been saved following financial difficulties. Picture House was near closure with 26 jobs at threat, but it's now changing hands to the Big Picture Limited as council bosses have given it the green light. It's thought the switchover will be after Easter, with the site changing its name. Kent Police has been praised for drastically cutting waiting times for non-emergency 101 calls. The force was criticised in September 2022 as stats found people were giving up on using the service because it was taking so long to get an answer. Calls are now being picked up after an average of just 22 seconds. Now, more than 30 shopping trolleys have been pulled from the River Medway during a clean-up operation. Water levels in Tunbridge have been lowered for 5 weeks as part of yearly repairs and maintenance. Paul Waghorn is among more than 50 volunteers who've turned up to help.
One of the reasons I'm here as a volunteer today is because I truly care about the river. It's a thing that, as an angler, we're all conservationists, and conservationists means that we care about the bird life, the natural habitat, and of course the fish. Parts of this river, not necessarily on the Cannon Lock area we're here, is nothing more than a dumping ground. It's so easy just to back your car up into the car park and deposit whatever waste you want to do, and there's very few cameras to protect it. So once a year, we like to get round and clear up.
And what sort of things will I expect to see from the river today? What are the strange things you've pulled out?
Well, I wouldn't say about strange. I mean, sometimes you wonder what you are going to see, because it is, it really could be some things you don't want to see. But in general, it's shopping trolleys and anywhere near bridges. There's three supermarkets in immediate location. That's Waitrose, Sainsbury's and Iceland. And the managers of all of them have all agreed to help out and remove the shopping trolleys at the end of our, we're pulling them out. There's also traffic cones, some big tubs or barrels that look like sort of waste you get from chemicals. However, I can't comment on whether they are chemical waste ones, but And it's our job today to try to remove that. And of course, with litter pickers, we're picking up litter as well.
The coordinated rubbish removal efforts have also pulled 60 bags of litter, a suitcase, coffee machine and bike from the river. Ian Nunn is from the Environment Agency.
Primarily, it's about reducing the river level through Tunbridge so that we can carry out maintenance to the navigation assets, the locks, the weirs and some of the banks. But that gives us the opportunity also to clear some of the channel. So as you walk through Tunbridge, most of the time the river looks lovely. As soon as you drop the level, you can see a whole host of shopping trolleys, debris, bikes. And we've got volunteers helping us clear that out. So that's fantastic.
And how many years have you been doing this?
So this activity has been done for more than 30 years, ever since I think the Environment Agency, National Rivers before, with the Navigation Authority on the River Medway.
And the objective today obviously is to clear up the river. Where does all of that waste go that's collected today?
So we're really fortunate. Local supermarkets have offered to take their trolleys away, and that's the bulk of it. Metal stuff will go to recycling centres, and some of the, any, if there's any organic vegetation, we'll take that either, that'll sit in the river to create further habitat, or be taken away to a registered landfill site.
Kent Online News.
A disability charity says they're hoping to break employment barriers after a shop worker on Sheppey with Down syndrome went viral. Shirley Harris works at Asda and has received thousands of likes on a social media post. Well, the Fenner Frost Foundation supports young adults with learning disabilities and says a lot of businesses could benefit from their skills. Shirley's mum, Katie, has been chatting to reporter Cara Simmons.
I don't know that Shelley would hold down a permanent sort of job completely, but sort of part-time and the sort of what she's doing at Asda at the moment would be perfect. And I think we hoped there would be opportunities. We knew there were some out there, but it was kind of finding them and finding what was going to be appropriate as well as what was going to be close enough, really, because, as I say, there's, you know, there's a distinct lack in this area, really.
Do you think that's something that's across Kent as well, not just Sittingbourne Swale area? Do you think there's sort of a lack of opportunities, like allowing for and charities sort of allowing for that to happen? Or
I think there probably is a lack everywhere. In Kent, you tend to find pockets of it. Down Ashford way, you've got the Canterbury Ice Trust that have got like the Rare Breeds Centre and the Poulton Woods, etc. Then you've got Spade Works that is sort of Westmoreland way. So you kind of get little pockets of places. There's definitely not enough to help them get out there and sort of do what they feel is a worthwhile job for them. So, yeah, definitely need more. Don't we?
Yeah.
People don't always understand what they can bring. They might not be able to read all the labels. They might not be able to do something 100% perfect, but they bring a lot of other things to the table as well, you know, with their characters and they're just, most of them are, all of them that I've met are just delightful people to be around. And they can bring so much fun and energy and enthusiasm. I think a lot of businesses could benefit.
National Grid have released plans to put a series of electricity pylons between Richborough and Sellinge. The energy company says the proposals aim to reduce the amount of carbon being produced, but the idea needs further development. Environmental groups have raised concerns about the damage the scheme could do to the area of outstanding natural beauty. Elsewhere, an abandoned patch of land in Maidstone town centre is going to be turned into a community garden. The area between Willett Street and Camden Street is often targeted by fly tippers. Involve Kent are planning to plant fruit trees and herbs as well as creating a miniature nature reserve. Works due to begin to bring a derelict 16th century pub near Dartford back into use. The Ship in Darrenth was taken over by new owners in 2021. They're planning to turn it into a micro pub as well as building two homes on the site. Meantime, the owners of a bridal boutique say the introduction of ULEZ charges force them to relocate from Bexley to Rochester High Street. Bosses at Bow Brides say ULEZ camera placed outside the shops saw them lose 70% of customers. They've now opened at the site of the former Sharon's Bakery. And finally, a boy from Ashford is preparing for the trip of a lifetime, all thanks to his passion for Pokemon. 12-year-old Harrison Holden Smith is so good at the card game, he's currently ranked 12th in the UK and 37th in Europe. Well, later this year, he'll be travelling to Hawaii for the World Championships, and up for grabs, a $50,000 first prize. Harrison and his mum, Kelly, have been speaking to reporter Chantal Weller.
I did do a lot of practicing, but it takes a while. It's not like an instant thing, because you've got to learn how to play and then you've got to practice, because the more you practice, the more you're going to be able to strategize and think ahead in the game.
Yeah.
That's really useful.
Yeah. So your mum said that it's sort of maths is involved, yeah, in English and things. So do you feel that it's like helping you in regards to maths at school? And
yeah, I think so, because lots of the cards are like 60, does 60 extra damage for every energy on this Pokemon and stuff. So it's like lots of the time you have to do quick maths. On my card, it does 180 base and you have to add 30 for every prize card your opponent's taken. So then you have to do that really fast so you can calculate the damage, especially if you're in a regional, because otherwise you'll time out.
Cool. So when did you first play your very first competitive game?
My competitive? Was it our regional or was it just...
It was regional, yeah. It was Bochum last
year. Oh, yeah, Bochum. So, about a year ago, we went to Bochum because we found about the regionals and I played there. There wasn't that many players, so it was easy to get a higher place.
Yeah. So, tell me a bit about, as well, you've travelled to quite a lot of places, haven't you, because of competition.
Yeah.
So, tell me some of the places that you've been.
Been to, France, Germany, Holland. I think Holland's in a country. Yeah.
That's fine.
Been to lots of places. Yeah. There's a lot in France for some reason.
Yeah, you've been to Lille in France.
Yeah.
And then you've...
Oh, Liverpool.
Liverpool. London, you've been?
Yeah, I go to London.
Yeah. What's your favourite place that you've been so far?
Probably Utrecht, because it's quite easy there.
Cool.
Because they have all the... There's still lots of players, but it's always going to be, little kids who have turned up with their, kids who are really good playing. It's like, oh, give it a go, because it's free entry. So maybe if you can get a higher place on those ones, because then you can beat them.
That's a good point.
Strategic as well, yeah, with that.
Yeah.
So do you think it's an important thing maybe for lots of young people like you to try and do? Because it sounds like you not only meet people, but you're getting out and obviously you're using your brain a lot.
Yeah. It is a really good thing to do, especially if you're just doing it locally as well, because then it's not that expensive and you still get to really enjoy it. And then it improves your maths, your reading, because you constantly have to read the cards. And it is really good for you.
And you can read more about Harrison in the story today at Kent Online.
Kent Online Sports.
Football, and it was a fantastic 3 points on the road for Gillingham at the weekend. They came from behind twice to beat Morecambe 3-2 on Saturday. Ollie Hawkins, Tim Dieng and Connor Mahoney getting the goals for the visitors. The result means the Gills are now eighth in the League Two table, just one place outside the playoffs. Head coach Stephen Clements spoke to us after the final whistle.
Carriers takes you a long, long way. And I've definitely got a bunch of boys down there that I've never questioned their character. They're great to work with. They give their all. As I've said it before, don't always get it right. But you know what? I think we've created a lot more. The average of shots, average entries into the box, final third entries, whatever you want to look, crosses, they've all gone up over a period of time. And I think if you keep doing that, eventually you are going to, like today, score a few goals. And thankfully today we did. But no, the character was fantastic to come from behind twice. Really, really good on a difficult day. The conditions were really, really, they were awful in the first half. I'm proud of them. And I thought the fans were fantastic. So what do we have, 210 fans here today? I could hear them. They were just over my right-hand shoulder. I could hear them all afternoon. And I wished them all a safe journey back. And thankfully, they've all got smiles on their faces today. I'm pleased we scored 3 goals. The boys deserve it. As I said, they've created a lot in games recently, probably haven't had the luck that they deserve. When the ball doesn't go in the back of the net, you get criticism, and then confidence can dip, etc., and all that. So hopefully that settles everyone down today, and we've got a home game coming up, haven't we? So we look forward to that.
And Gillingham are back in action on Good Friday. They welcome Crewe Alexandra to Priestfield. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Threads. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, you just need to head to kentonline.co.uk.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.